This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 18th, episode 2271, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Guess what day it is, huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Wednesday.
Hit it!
That's right, it's hump day with your Horses in the Morning hosts, Jamie, that girl Jennings, and Glenn, the geeky pony guy.
Wednesday, I can't sleep.
And coming up on today's show, driver Paul May, you may remember him from the original WEG show, has an announcement for young drivers everywhere. And then in our horse health segment, Dr. Jean Yin Tan takes a look at reoccurring founder and how to avoid it. And then Abby has the Chronicle-inspired equestrian history lesson. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you being here. Now, if you're listening to us using an app called PodCoin, it was an app that came out about a year ago, and what it promised to do was pay people to listen to podcasts. Well, apparently it didn't work out so well because all you PodCoin users are going to be out of business starting October 1st. They're closing down. So apparently it was not profitable paying people to listen to podcasts. We had high hopes for this, but not so good.
Did you have to subscribe to them and pay them anything?
No, they were just paying listeners. Now, it wasn't a lot of money. You had to listen to, and I know some of our listeners were doing it. You had to listen to a lot of shows to make any money at all. And I think they were hoping to make it through advertising and stuff, and it just didn't work.
That's a terrible business plan.
Well,
sorry.
And it was people with money. They had started, we interviewed them on the Florida podcasting news show, Jimmy and I, and it was people who had money because they had developed another app that sold out for hundreds of millions of dollars. And they just thought they could, I don't know. It didn't seem right when I heard it in the first place, but it was like, well, we'll see how it goes. It didn't go well. So that, I just want to let you PodCoin people know that there are other apps out there. I use one. There's Pocket Casts is one. Pocket Casts used to cost money, and now it just went free, actually, which is unusual. You use just the regular native player in your iPhone, right?
It just says podcast on my iPhone, and I just hit that button, and I search for what I want.
Now, I'm now using one, trying one out called Podcast Addict. And I really like it. I really like
what's
how it's
the,
laid
what's
out.
The, what's the point of having all these different ones that have the same stuff on them? Or do some have different podcasts than others?
You don't want to use the Google one that comes native with Android because it's terrible. So, you know, so that's why the Android people all tend to have to get an app, unlike the Apple people who all just use the Apple player, which is pretty good. The Google one is not good. So, yeah, that's why we always have to download one. But there's a million of them out there now. There's a million podcast player apps, and they're all do about the same things. You know, they all can, they're laid out a little differently. I like Podcast Addict a little better than I liked Pocket Casts. But, you know, it just has some more features and the layout is just easier to get around.
Okay, you're getting too geeky. Move on.
All right. One other thing is we do realize that our show notes are messed up in some podcast players for Horses in the Morning and a couple of the other Horse Radio Network shows. Not all players, but some players. Pocket Casts is one of the ones that our show notes are messed up in, actually. We're trying to figure out why it's messed up. It's showing really garbly goop and code and stuff in some players, and I don't know why. We're trying to figure that out and get it fixed. So for you people that are seeing garbly goop, you can still play the show. You just, the show notes don't look so good. So there you go. Just wanted to let you know that we're working on that and we'll try and find a remedy to it. And the other thing is we want to remind you that next week is what we're calling the week of the pod. So it is the week when you're supposed to share the podcast that you love. International Podcast Day is coming up. It's the week before that. So we would love for you to share our shows. We're going to make little banners up for everybody that says I love and like the Horses in the Morning logo and where to find us so that you can share that everywhere. But we would love to get your help just sharing it out in social media, what podcasts that you love, hopefully ours, and we'll hopefully get some new listeners.
I was pretty irritated because there's that Thoroughbred Makeover Trainers Facebook page, and it's like where people go to do all of the talk about the makeover. And somebody was like, hey, what's your favorite podcast? We all need to get podcasts together to listen to them on the way to the makeover. And not one person put Retired Racehorse Radio. And it's like, hello, that we're like literally talking about you or to you. That should be number one on the list. And it wasn't. So I might have gone in there and shared.
Well, good for you. It is like the official podcast for the makeover. So probably should have been listened or listed. All right.
That's, share away, people. So, let them know we're here.
So here on the show next week, we are celebrating by having all listeners. We have a whole bunch of listeners booked to come on the show and learn about them. So it's kind of going to be listener week here next week on the show. Now it's time for some Daily Whinnies. Well, this is a very special one of these today. Happy birthday to our legacy listener and auditor, Rhonda Crabtree. And what does legacy listener mean? That means she's been listening since day one of the Horse Radio Network. She's listened to every episode of this show and most of the other shows. So thank you, Rhonda, for being probably our only
Happy
legacy
birthday.
Listener. We have one that have listened back from since day one. There's probably more than one, but I don't know who they are. So happy birthday to Rhonda.
Well, you know, I like to do things I heard in Oklahoma, Glenn. And on Monday, I did the things I saw in Oklahoma, which was the cows that were outside of my front door. If you didn't hear that,
fell off their almost crashed their cars listening to, apparently.
So, yeah, if you didn't hear that, you need to go back and listen because I'm detecting a theme of just general weirdness in Oklahoma. For those who don't know, I moved here less than a year ago from Arizona, and there's a lot of differences. And now I live on a 20-acre place with like a tiny pond. So I decided to surprise my husband and child with some ducks. So we have a pond and need some ducks.
And you tried geese. That didn't work out so well.
Yeah, the geese didn't work out so well. But ducks are not like, they're not your friends. They go do their thing and they stay down by the pond. So I thought, I'm going to get some ducks. And my favorite duck, even though they're super weird looking, is Muscovy ducks. They're great to have around. They eat mosquitoes. They're just fantastic ducks. So I found a guy that lived not too far away, like shockingly not too far away from where I live right now. And he was giving away Muscovy ducks. So I'm like, I need a couple of your Muscovy ducks. So set an appointment. Chad takes Lucas out to karate and I go to get the ducks by myself. Like I said, shockingly close, like 2 miles away. So I set up the appointment. I drive out there and I pull in. And there's a guy and he's waiting for me. And it's like a little compound of trailers. Okay. So there's like all these, like probably four different trailers, and they start with like a big one and they kind of tick down to smaller ones. And they're all up on, again, Oklahoma trailers. Terrible idea. Number one for tornadoes. But anyway, so they have all these, I pull in and there's like kids everywhere. There must have been 12 children out there. And apparently, from what I could gather, it was like the grandma and granddad and all these kids, and they all lived in the other trailers with their parents around. So it's like they have a kid and then the kid gets a kid and then they all have a trailer that lives on this property. Great. So they've got these ducks. And the reason we had to specifically do this time is because they had to trap them and pin them up because they are not super friendly ducks. Okay. They're just kind of wild. So I take my little dog crate and they some of the kids run into this little duck pen and grab the ducks. And so, and the ducks are flailing about like crazy. They're flapping. Feathers and the kids flying. Don't know how to hold them. It's just a hot mess. I mean, this is, I should have videotaped it because it was that hilarious. So these kids are going in the thing barefoot, you know, like grabbing ducks, and they bring it out and they put one duck in my crate. And then the little kid comes out with a duck. And the second he walks out the door, this thing starts flapping, basically punches this little kid in the face with his wing. Duck flies up in the air and takes off.
One free where duck.
Does, where does the duck go? Directly under the trailer. Okay. and the trailer is up on blocks, and they've got like rock that is around the bottom of the trailer, except for this one little part that the duck apparently knew about and went running and dove underneath the trailer. That did not stop my fearless Oklahoma neighbors, because every child then got on the ground and climbed under the trailer, shimmying on their belly underneath the trailer. And so at this point, we've got a trailer up on blocks with like rock wall around it. But there are now 12 children that have poked their way through this hole and shimmied on their belly.
First
underneath
of all, there's no
trailer.
Way in hell I'm ever going under a trailer. Just saying.
Oh my God, no. I was like, is this safe? And that they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They do this. You know, we got to catch them sometimes. You know, I got to get the coyotes out. So we have to do that. And I'm like, what is happening? So all these children are shimmying down underneath the trailer, and one's like, hey, grandma, you got a flashlight? Okay. So grandma goes in, instantaneously pulls out a flashlight, comes out, and the grandma is shining a flashlight underneath the trailer, trying to locate the duck. However, there's a lot of eyes underneath the trailer that are not duck eyes. There's like chickens, and there's turkeys. I don't know what is underneath this trailer, but there's a lot of life under this trailer. And at some point,
how do these people sleep with all the noise under there?
I see there's like, you know, like I said, they've stacked rocks up to the base of the trailer. And much like Andy Dufresne making his way out of Shawshank prison, a child just punches through the rocks on her belly and shimmies out of Shawshank, climbs out of there. Grandma can't find it nowhere. There's no duck nowhere. I can't find it. And so like all the children shimmy their way out of Shawshank through like good Lord knows 300 feet of, you know, Lord knows what that was. The worst of all, you know, they come out of the trailer. The duck is gone. There's children that have been underneath the trailer, and they're like, it's on the other side. So they run around to the other side of the trailer. Well, there's like blocks and rocks there. So they start pulling the rocks apart, and two of them shimmy under that side of the trailer to see if they can chase the duck out to the other side of the trailer. And at one point, finally, grandma and I'm they're like, we're so sorry. This never happens. And I was like, this is amazing. I mean, this is awesome. I am loving this. You just go right ahead, do what you got to do. Finally, grandma, somebody with some sense goes, hey, babies, I need y'all get out of the trailer because there's electricity under there. I don't want y'all to get shocked. And I was like, what? Well, you know, my brother wired up this trailer himself, so I don't know if it's really safe down there for them to be shimmying under that trailer. And I was like, oh my God, everybody get out of the trailer. It's just a duck. Forget it. Come on out. And like children come out of nowhere. I think one came out of like the window. I don't know. Just they came out of nowhere. And I was like, you know what? One duck is fine. We'll be fine with one duck. And the other one's like, I caught this one, mama. And then it comes out with like a baby duck that's probably like 3 months old. And I was like, fine, I'll take it. Put it in the back. Put it in the crate. I gotta go. And at this point, as they're shimming around the trailer, the dog comes out.
Oh.
The dog is the size of maybe a medium pony. It is a mastiff. And it comes out and they're like, hey, Buck,
does the dog live in the trailer, the mastiff?
Get away, Buck. And Buck comes over to me because I'm new. And Buck is a mastiff. And Buck has about 9 pounds of slobber that are on his face. Yeah. And at this point, I'm trying to
mastiffs
get this done because I have to go to kickboxing.
Biggest dogs ever.
It comes right up to me, Glenn, and just puts its face right in my belly. And I look down. I'm like, hey, Buck, please don't eviscerate me. You know, don't eviscerate me. And I look down, and Buck has deposited about a pound and a half of slobber across my belly. And he's like, Buck, you get away now. And he goes, hey, you want a dog too? And I was like, oh my God, no. So that being said, I told the children that they are my hero, that they're amazing and they're tough and they're awesome. And I think that they're super cool and they should be very proud of themselves. And I basically hood slid like Bo Duke across the front of my truck and I peeled out of there with a pound and a half of Buck's slobber across my
These belly. Are not kids who spend a lot of time on video games. These are outdoor kids. There's still some left.
These are my kind of kids, okay? Like, and I said, do you guys have like a pen for these? He goes, no, you know what? The coyotes don't mess with the ducks, but they sure do like the chickens. And I was like, oh my God.
That's why the chickens are under the house.
Exactly. Anyway, well done. Fantastic things I've seen in Oklahoma. Let's go to our guests, shall we?
Speaking of kids, that's why we're going to our guests. So that's a perfect transition. Our spotlight driver for the WEG and the WEG show that Samantha and I did was Paul May, and he is one of the top drivers here in the United States in combined driving events. And he has an idea that to get more youth involved, and that's something we're always talking about here on the show, is how do we get youth involved in any part of the horse world and off of the computers and out from underneath the house. So, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Glenn.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Now, I don't know much about this other than Wendy said, you have to have Paul on. It's required. You have to have Paul on. And whenever Wendy tells me to do something, I do it.
Well, that's very kind of her.
Yeah. So she scares me. I don't know about you, Paul, but I think she scares everybody. So, Paul, tell us what you're up to.
Well, after this spring, my young son, Ashton, who's five, started driving.
And cute really as the Dickens, Paul. Paul, cute as the Dickens. I saw the pictures. Jamie, your heart would melt with his little one driving the little pony around. It's so cute.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got, well, he started driving a pair of ponies now.
Wow.
Which were furnished for him from Randy and Keedy Cadwell. And so Tremont Farm are actually sponsoring him. So he's the only five-year-old I know that's got a sponsor. Anyway, we started off, he started driving, and it sort of triggered my interest into what the ADS and what USEF doing for our junior drivers throughout the country. You know, the driving community seems to be getting older and older, and there aren't many youngsters coming along.
I was going to say, are there any junior drivers, Paul? That was my question.
There are some junior drivers.
Yeah. Okay.
There are some, but not many. And, you know, I think there's a lot of limiting factors. It's expensive, you know, with the travel, the equipment. It's not like riding a pony, you know, just with a saddle and bridle. With all the equipment you have to have, bigger trailers, you know, and a lot of traveling as well. There's usually not very much locally. So I talked to the ADS and I talked to USEF, and they have nothing in place for juniors at all. So I decided to start up a new program educating the junior driver. And it's going to be for 4-H members, pony club, ADS kids, you know, whether they're competing or they want to compete in pleasure driving or combined driving or just drive for recreation and fun. Doesn't matter. We just need to get as many kids together as we can and promote our sport.
Now the ADS, for those that don't know, is American Driving Society. They're kind of the governing board for driving here in the United States. You know, I think Pony Club is a good place, obviously, in 4-H. You need to get the word out that this exists, and obviously you're going to need their help, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've contacted the Virginia. I actually went to the 4-H Championship last week, which is at the Virginia Horse Center, close to my farm. And talked to the kids there. There were only four kids driving in 4-H championship in the whole state of Virginia. So that gives you an idea of how it's sort of waning as a sport. And so anyway, I talked to them, reached out to the 4-H. I've reached out to Pony Club, and I'm having my first clinic at my farm at the end of September, the 28th. Which is a free clinic for all kids from any walk, you know, whether they drive now, whether they might have an interest in it.
Do they have to be horse kids? So do they have to know anything about horses?
No. Okay. Not really, no. They really don't. If they might have an interest, come. See what it's all about. We'll be doing demos. There'll be some everyone will get a chance to drive. And I've had a lot of support from our driving community, trainers, stores, farms. The CAA are very interested in it. So we've got a lot of backing, and I'm planning on making it a non-profit organization so we can actually provide scholarships for kids to attend clinics and shows and summer camps, which we're going to start next summer.
I think this is a great idea, Paul. And it's the only way this is going to happen, and I love that the fact that you're making it free for the kids to come out and at least get, you know, at least get to try it and play around with the ponies and
yeah,
get to see what happens when you drive. And I think a lot of the kids are going to get hooked, you know. It's going to be something that does get them hooked. And you're right. I don't know of any programs like this in the country. There's one, and that is for the racing side of things. That's for the standardbred racing side of things. They have a program for a youth program for kids, but that's it. I mean, that's on the racing side.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, I'm really hoping it's going to kick off and we'll be able to sort of give back to the driving community. You know, we as trainers, as professional trainers, we need to do as much as we can to get kids involved.
What kind of horses do you have there? What are they going to be using when they come out to the farm?
Oh, I have some quiet ponies here, and a couple of my team horses are pretty quiet as well, so we'll use those. And I have a couple of people who have volunteered to bring ponies in as well.
What are your team horses again? Are they Dutch Warmbloods? I forget what they are.
Dutch harness horses.
Dutch harness horses. Okay,
yeah,
that's what I call it. Well, I love the ponies that the Cadwells provided for you. Are they Shetlands for your son?
Well, Welsh. They're Welsh ponies.
Okay, they're very cute. They're very, very cute. Where can people? Where do you locate it exactly? And how do people find out where to go?
Our farm is in Fairfield, Virginia, right off Interstate 81. Close to the Virginia Horse Center.
Okay.
So we're in Fairfield, which is about 2 hours from Northern Virginia, from like Loudoun County, Leesburg, and Lovettsville area. Very easy accessible. Right off the highway. We're just 3 miles off the highway. Easy to get here. There's plenty of things to do in the area. We're right at the bottom of the Shenandoah Valley, so it's beautiful.
It is beautiful where you are. I've been there before, and it is absolutely beautiful. Where can people sign up? How do they get to come?
Well, you can either give me a call, or they can follow us on Facebook on Paul May Educating the Junior Driver. The name of the program is Evolution Driving. So that's going to be our banner. And or they can email at mayshowponies@gmail.com. Well, they can reach me on the phone at 540-272-1134.
All right. We'll put a link to that in our show notes as well and over on our Facebook page. Thanks, Paul. And I appreciate you doing this. I hope this works out.
Ben.
We really do need this across all disciplines, really. I mean, there are certain disciplines like hunters and jumpers that this is easier. There's more and more kids that come into that world, but everything else is really lacking in kids. So good job.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Thanks for taking the time to do it. We appreciate it, Paul.
Well, thanks for the time to get it out to the public.
All right. Good luck. Post a lot of pictures of cute kids driving ponies.
Ben.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Take care, Paul.
All right. Bye for now.
His son is so cute in those pictures. I'll have to get one of the pictures of his son driving the ponies. It is so cute. He's adorable.
Cool.
Speaking of kids, while we're on that theme, my crappy list Wednesday, I got one for you. We talk about it every year. Well, it's that time of year, and you have to today. Today is the last day to vote. And you can do that. I'll tell you where you can do that. But your voting for who gets put in the Toy Hall of Fame. Which toys? So starting last year, they allowed people to start voting for the ones they wanted to see in the top three, and then there's a selection committee that picks. How'd you like to be on the selection committee who picks the toys to go into Toy Hall of Fame?
That's like the guy who had the job in Big. You know, play with his toy and rank it.
Yes, exactly. Well, the 12 finalists for this year, by the way, to remind you, last year inducted into the Hall of Fame was the Magic 8 Ball, Pinball, and Uno. So remember we were shocked that Pinball wasn't in already? It's been around forever. Mm-hmm. So the 12 finalists this year are, and let's see which one of these you had, Care Bears.
Okay. Man, I got to tell you, I had a Care Bear. I did. And the Care Bear stare is just something we all should know about. It's about projecting your energy from your belly button, Glenn, and making things happen.
And did the Care Bear pass away at some point?
I'm pretty sure the Care Bear was donated at some point.
Here's one that I thought would have been in about 500 years ago, because they've been around forever, is coloring books. How's a coloring book not in the Toy Hall of Fame already? I mean,
I don't know.
Every kid had a coloring book.
You see a coloring book, Lucas wants it.
Yeah, I mean, every kid has had coloring books. I think coloring books date back to the Middle Ages. I don't know how that's not. Fisher-Price Corn Popper. I don't remember that. That must have been after my kid.
It's a toddler toy, and you walk around, and it makes a lot of noise, and it's ridiculous and stupid, and it shouldn't get in.
Okay, there. We have one negative vote for the Corn Popper. Jenga. Again, every nerd in the world played Jenga and still does. I don't know. That one's been around
a
long time,
the
too.
Bar Jenga, where it's like giant 2x4s and you get drunk in a bar and they have like a giant Jenga board there. I love that one.
I don't think that's been nominated, actually, that particular version.
Bar Jenga?
Yeah, I don't think that one's nominated giant Jenga for the Toy Hall of Fame. Magic the Gathering. Is that a D&D thing? I don't know. I don't know what that is. Masters of the Universe.
He-Man.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, but...
By the power of Grayskull, I am He-Man. Yeah.
Is this the toys? I don't know. It's not a game, I don't think. Matchbox cars. How are Matchbox cars not in there? Every kid from my grandfather after has played with Matchbox cars.
It's
I probably
true.
Still have some here in the house someplace.
They sell them in the grocery store, and you have to steer away from that aisle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how Matchbox cars didn't end up there. Oh, and I regretfully say that they didn't win last year. They were on the list last year, but My Little Pony is on the list again.
My little pony.
How about the Nerf Blaster? Does Lucas have a Nerf Blaster?
So it's funny, he has blocks and then he puts the Matchbox cars and the army men on the blocks and he and Chad blast them. So I don't know what particular gun that is, but like Nerf guns are always a big win in a house.
Yeah, I can see why that was on the list. We used to build the little model cars. Do they still make little plastic model cars and stuff that you build and the glue and all that stuff? I don't know. We used to build those and go down to the basement and shoot them into pieces with our BB guns. So that was safe. A little nastier than the Nerf Blaster. How about Risk? God, there's a game I haven't played in 1,000 years.
I never played Risk. That was too nerdy for me.
Yeah, Risk is on the list. The smartphone is on the list.
What?
Well, I guess a lot of people play games on their smartphone. I don't know why. I guess that's why it's on
the
list.
Because the smartphone is completely useless as a phone. So I guess toys where it needs to be categorized.
That's right. And how about the top? I guess the spinning top? Is that what they mean?
I guess.
Yeah, the spinning top, I guess.
I feel like you should have more
information. I think that one needs to be in there because it is older than all of the rest combined.
Well, that is true. The top's been around forever, too. That does date back to probably Elizabethan times.
No, it's got to be Iron Age.
Yeah.
First pointy rock spin.
That's true. Anyway, you can go to toyhalloffame.org. It's the last day for voting. So you can go there right now and put in your votes on which one you want to see in the Toy Hall of Fame for this year. So that's what's happening. And again, we always look at that list and go, every year we go, wow, that one's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
No, I think more what I think is, wow, there's a Toy Hall of Fame. Like, that's the first initial thing that I think of. Did you know that near me on the way down towards Paul's Valley, which is where the Mustangs are here in Oklahoma, there is an action figure Hall of Fame?
Really?
I have yet to go, but I'm in.
Oh, Lucas and I would have a blast in there.
But see, the problem is he'll want all of them.
Yeah, and they want to take him home. Mm-hmm. It's a very quiet Hall of Fame. They all just hanging out. So now, well, you know, you don't. The one thing about having an action figure Hall of Fame is you don't need a lot of space.
They're probably all in the boxes, though.
Yeah, they're all pretty small. You know what, Jennifer? We stopped yesterday at the tack shop because Jennifer wanted to look at saddle pads. What she didn't know is that if she had gone to horselovers.com today, they have a ton of saddle pads under $20. So,
yeah, no!
Yes, there are five pages of saddle pads under $20 right now at horselovers.com. I'm not kidding. Five pages. They have the Roma Economy pads for $15. They have Tough Rider Basic Dressage pads for $19. They have the Centaur all-purpose pads, which you see everywhere, for $15. I'm not kidding. They have all kinds of pads on here, whether it's dressage or quilted or shaped or square. It doesn't matter.
I'm starting to shake right now, Glenn. I can't take this kind of pressure.
First of all, I didn't know there were this many different kinds of saddle pads, number one. They have
like fleece wither pads for $18.99.
On here for $14.
I'm going to explode. My head's going to explode. I can't look at all of these pads and continue a show.
Oh, they have the pinkest Union Hill pony saddle pad I have ever seen. Oh my God, is that pink?
Do you know what this kind of does? There's like the little up and down, there's polka dots, there's arrows, there's paisley, there's so many patterns. I'm going to freak out.
They have the Equine Couture Dylan pads, all-purpose pads. They have the really classy stripe in the back that makes it look like they should be about $100, and they're only $19. Those pads, I remember seeing those at Ada and going, oh, those are really nice pads. Yeah, so head on over there. They also have the novelty all-purpose pony pads that everybody likes for their ponies. You can find those there for $11.
I can't continue the show and shop, so...
Let me see what else they have over at Horse Lovers right now. You don't need any of these pads, by the way, Jamie, because remember, you're on a pad restriction right now.
I have been grounded for pads, but I would like to say that there are times that Chad is out of town that I can still get shipments from Horse Lovers. I just have to time it right.
You don't know when he's going to be gone, though, do you?
No, but, you know, I kind of have an idea of the window of when the UPS truck comes. Like yesterday when the UPS truck came from Horse Lovers that was selling all those boots again. Remember, they have sold those Justin boots. It was like $500 boots for $40 or $30. And then I bought some and I liked it so much, I went back and bought more. So a box came yesterday and Chad's like,
you bought a second pair of boots?
I did. They're so comfortable and they're $30. I mean, like, they're free, Glenn.
They are practically free. That's right. There was a 65-inch TV at Walmart the other day that I came home and said to Jennifer, you know, it was practically free, but I didn't buy it because I knew it'd be in trouble. So, but it was practically free. I was going to use your line, but I think your line works better on Chad than it would work on Jennifer.
Remember what I told you, Glenn. Okay, how much was the TV?
It was marked down to like $350.
Okay, what you do is you come home. Hopefully Chad's not listening. You come home and you're like, oh my God, babe, I found the greatest TV and it is $850. It is such a deal. And she's like, what? You can't spend $850 on a TV? And you're like, just kidding. It's only $350. And she'd be like, oh my God, that is a great deal. You should go get it. How have you not learned that yet?
Yeah, Jennifer's not saying that. I don't know how you get away with it, but that's not happening with Jennifer. That is not what's coming out of her mouth.
You were going to spend $850, but turns out you're like, I'm saving $500 on a TV by buying it for $350. I mean, it's like they're giving you money, Glenn.
Jennifer, is that going to work? Should I have used that the other day?
No.
See?
Well, she's hearing it now. So now you're screwed. But other than that...
See, he's already used his allotment of it's practically free. They're giving it away for the month because he bought not one, but two new computers in the past 60 days.
Yeah, but so, we need those. That's business. Yeah, that doesn't even really count. Glenn. They're just used for business. So that's not
you
even
need
a pleasure
get your
thing.
Shopping priorities straight.
Yeah, I got to keep the network running somehow. So that's horselovers.com. Go check it out today and buy yourself 10 more saddle pads. Why not?
Oh, God.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report. When our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Well, I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Jean Yen Tan from the University of Calgary. She's an instructor in equine clinical sciences and board certified in internal medicine. And I can't think of anything more internal to talk about than laminitis, because it is something I battle all the time with Zeus. And I know we've had a lot of listeners sending in questions. So good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Jennifer. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Jennifer's a producer. My name is Jamie and Glenn is on as well. And I guess what I want to start with is kind of talking about, let's blanket this whole thing and just give us a brief definition of laminitis and the common causes of laminitis.
Sure, Jamie. Absolutely. So laminitis itis actually means inflammation. And so it naturally is inflammation of the lamina, which is the connective tissue of the hoof. Basically, the lamina holds your hoof wall to the coffin bone. And so when it gets inflamed and it becomes weak, it can lead to the separation of the hoof from the coffin bone. So what I like to use as an analogy is you and I, we stand on our 2 feet. We know that our horses stand on 4 hooves. So the hoof is essentially like the fingernail of your third finger, if you imagine that all your weight is on that third fingernail. So if you hurt yourself and that fingernail starts detaching from your finger, and then you imagine that you put all your weight on that fingernail that's detaching, that gives you an idea of how painful laminitis is. So that kind of leads you to how you recognize laminitis is to observe some severe lameness basically in your horse, some heat from the inflammation, and some bounding, what we call digital pulses, which is the pulses of your feet. So you asked about common causes. It doesn't happen that often in horses. The estimated lifetime risk is about 15%, which I know is scary when you do own horses.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of the time, it actually does come from an endocrine disease. So an endocrine disease means something like Cushing's disease, which is a condition of older horses, or equine metabolic syndrome, which is the condition where horses are typically obese or they have some fat pads on them. And so I know laminitis gets a bad reputation for taking you by surprise. You know, people think it's generally from things like grain overload, from, you know, unpreventable things like lush grass and diarrhea and pneumonia. Sometimes it's from mechanical forces, but really 90% of the time it's from something preventable, which if we can diagnose and treat endocrine disease before it causes laminitis, we're in luck. We can actually prevent and treat this disease.
Wow. Okay. So how do we recognize some of those warning signs then?
Absolutely. So a lot of times for equine metabolic syndrome, that is a condition that can happen really in any aged horse, but we typically recognize at about age 15. And mostly we recognize them as being obese. So it shares some similarities to type 2 diabetes, where you get problems with insulin and then you have side effects from that. So same with horses who have equine metabolic syndrome. They have some problems with their regulation of their insulin, so they can't process sugars normally, and that leads to laminitis. So we recognize them by simply being overweight. So a body condition score of 7 or greater on a scale out of 9 would be an example of obesity. And then we all know those horses who have that crusty neck, you know, those fat pads in front of the shoulder, fat pads on top of the tail head. And those horses are typically at risk of equine metabolic syndrome, and we can tell by doing a blood test.
Well,
the second disease, sorry.
Let me just jump in there. I have one of those. What are the ways to stop it? I mean, say you know it has that. You've got the crusty neck, fat pads, do the blood test. How can you stop it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually management. And I know everybody loves to have a magic pill that fixes everything.
Yes, I want that. Make me that.
I know, right? We all do. If only everything, all diseases in the world could be cured by the magic pill, it would be fantastic. And somebody would earn a lot of money from making that magic pill.
Right.
Unfortunately, for this, it's mostly about management. And the great thing about that is the power is in your hands as the owner. So by managing their starch intake, you can actually improve their lives to the point where they are at low risk of laminitis. So, for example, keeping them away from rich grain and keeping them away from rich grass and also decreasing the amount of food they're on can decrease obesity and also decrease the amounts of starches that can then lead to laminitis. So it's actually fairly simple. You know, we just, you know, a lot of us need to go on diets. So same with some of our obese horses.
Okay. And now another worry that I've had with laminitis in my life, I'm just going to give like experiences I've had and you can tell me how to address that, is I had a horse in the hospital and he had colic surgery. And one of the biggest things that they were worried about was that he would get laminitis from like post-surgery. And I know that we've had some very famous horses that have come down with the laminitis post-surgery. So what are the ways that you can manage that? Because that's not about managing starches, is it?
Sure, you're absolutely right. So 90% of laminitis cases are caused by, you know, these endocrine diseases where starches come into play. But then there's that other 10% where it can come from inflammation or mechanical forces. And so for inflammation, it's typically if you develop something that causes a huge insult to your system. So diarrhea, pneumonia, those are examples. Colic can be an example, but typically horses with colic don't develop it primarily as a side effect. It's usually only if you get really, really sick from the colic, like you've got diarrhea secondary, or you've got some other major insult to your GI tract. And in those cases, if they can see it coming and they know that, you know, this is a potential big side effect, they can help you prevent it by icing the feet. And I know that sounds really simple, but it's not as simple as it sounds. You actually have to ice for at least 72 hours. So that means with normal body temperature of the horse melting the ice all the time, that means pretty intensive care. That means changing the ice on their legs, you know, once every 2 hours at least. And then it isn't just the feet. Like, you have to ice all the way up to the knees. So it takes some specialized kind of equipment and expertise and kind of your, you know, 24/7 care in a hospital-type situation in order to do that. As far as clinical signs, also in the hospital, that's where they're best equipped to see those changes and detect them quicker. Because for you and, you know, and any kind of regular horse owner, they won't be able to tell until the horse is sore. But then in the clinic, we're trained to kind of feel those digital pulses and see if they're a little bit higher than normal. And if there's a little bit of an increase in temperature of the hoof, and then we can get on it right away.
Okay, so say that your horse has had a laminitic episode. You've determined that something was wrong. The vet has come out and said, yes, you've had a bout of laminitis. You get some x-rays. What is the future prognosis of that horse as far as being a performance horse?
Sure. That's a really great question. And it really varies, actually. So it's a very individual thing. And I think it really depends on what the veterinarian has found on x-rays. So because of that inflammation between the hoof wall and the coffin bone and the loosening, basically, of that connection, sometimes your coffin bone can have some changes that you can see on x-ray. It can either sink down or it can rotate. And in those cases, depending on how severe it is, that can help determine prognosis. But not all is lost, even if you have sinking or rotation, because it's really the progression of disease that's important to determine prognosis. So if your horse stabilizes pretty quickly, then they can still have really good prognosis over time with a lot of treatment and trimming and, you know, just careful TLC.
Okay, so it's not over, but it definitely is kind of dependent upon each horse and the situation that they've gone through. Now, you've got a horse that could potentially have equine metabolic syndrome. They're crusty, they're fat. Can they ever be turned out on grass, or should there be a muzzle? Is there a warning sign that it's going to happen soon?
Absolutely. So they can be turned out on grass. I typically recommend a muzzle for most of them. We can tell on blood work how severe the insulin changes are, and we usually recommend based on that. And so typically I recommend keeping them off grass, especially in the spring and fall, because that's when the sugars in grasses are really high. So it's kind of like you and I, you know, when I'm stressed, my blood sugar goes up. Same with grass. You know, after it's been really cold, like a frost at night, the next morning it tends to be really high in blood sugar or grass sugar.
Hmm. So on those nights where it's like, oh, it's finally a nice cool night after the summer, the next morning the grass is going to be trouble.
Absolutely. And that's when it's most important to keep them off that grass. So
sorry, Zeus, you're getting your muzzle back.
my poor pony Scooter, he's a Hackney, and he tends to get a little bit overweight, and Jennifer will not let him out on grass at all. She's mean to him.
Well, there you go. She's wise.
Don't tell her that. She's mean. She's cruel to my pony. He doesn't get to go out and eat grass.
Isn't that
the problem, though? Is what I just said is how people feel, right? We feel like, oh, well, the poor pony should be able to eat grass. And if I take him off of grass altogether, that's just plain mean. And then we end up with laminitic ponies.
Oh, I know. And that's why sometimes you just need that blood work just to show you, hey, something needs to be done. But I've had owners that had horses that threw temper tantrums. You know, they put a muzzle on and the horse just flopped down on its side and it lay there for like 24 hours. And thank goodness the owner just stuck to their guns and they said, I'm sorry, the muzzle's staying on. And after 24 hours, that horse caught back up. I would drive by that property all the time. And, you know, she was grazing through that muzzle as if nothing had ever happened. So they'll get over it.
I like to say to my horse, I'm like, listen, I am smarter than you. You have to listen to me.
How's that going?
It's not so good, Doc. I can't lie. Well, hey, if people want to learn a little bit more about you and laminitis, where can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. For laminitis, I've written an article that's on the American Association of Equine Practitioners area. So it's actually on vetspecialists.com/laminitis. I've also written some articles on the horse, and you can see my profile on University of Calgary's Faculty of Veterinary Medicine. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Dr. Jean Yen-Tan. Did I say that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, doctor. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon. And maybe next time we'll talk about how you can bubble wrap a horse that has a horse show coming up in 2 weeks. If you could work on that, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I think that's my biggest nightmare with Baby Groot is that he's, you know, like somebody asked me, are you still going to the makeover? And I was like, I don't want to answer that question. I don't jinx myself.
So Zeus is your Scooter's mine, the two that really shouldn't be turned out.
No. And he's turned out now, but he's in a smaller paddock. But yeah, I could see. I'm glad that she gave me the reminder about the fall grass because his muzzle will have to go back on.
Yeah, poor Scooter. He's in a dry lot. you know, and he just has to suffer all day. And he's all by himself because he and Nigel tend to hurt each other. So there's that. But I do feel bad. See, I feel bad for him. Jennifer's an old meanie. She doesn't feel bad, but I feel bad.
You just think you're saving their life. But you know what? It's funny you mentioned that because Groot and Drax have been best friends forever. And they get along great, but they play all the time. They're four-year-old thoroughbreds in a giant pasture, and they just bite. You know, they stand in front of each other and bite and rear, and then bite each other's necks and rear. And I was like, no more! Groot, you're out with Duke. Duke is a 24-year-old. He doesn't mess with anybody. He just wants to be left alone. So now Groot and Drax, they stare lovingly at each other from two paddocks away. They're like, miss you. And then when I bring them in, they always stable next to each other, and they just sit at the water and just talk. And I feel so guilty, but I'm like, after we get back, you can play. You're too rough. I'm so
all right.
Mean too.
Let's take a break for ovation and coming back. Are we doing wacky news next?
Are we going to play a song?
Do you want a song?
I have to use the ladies.
Okay. We'll play a song. I have Katie Drake queued up with Ready for the Ride, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. OvationRiding.com.
Love is always a gamble. Love comes with no guarantee. Once your heart has made your mind up, hope is all you see. I'm not one to hold back. I'm not one to shy.
Well, that was Katie Drake. You can find all her music at Katie Drake. That's Katie with a K, Drake.com.
If I sang like that, I would never talk. I would just sing all the
all
time.
All the time.
So what I was, my life would be a musical.
Although, you know, we actually will give a little heads up here. We actually recorded the special musical episode for next Friday's show with Jared Rogerson yesterday.
Oh my God.
About his new album. And his voice, even just talking, is incredible.
I didn't want to say this in front of him, but you know when he just talks normally, if you just close your eyes, oh, you don't even need to close your eyes, you're not looking at him. He sounds like Garth Brooks in an interview. Did he not sound like Garth Brooks talking?
Yeah, he does a little bit. Yeah, he kind of has that, he just has that laid back kind of like cowboy voice. I mean, it's just...
And here's the part I wouldn't say in front of him. He kind of looks like Garth Brooks when you're in front of him.
You
like
know, the picture that's
Garth
on
Brooks.
The new album, I don't know if you saw the picture where he's turned his head sideways.
Yeah.
The picture on the new album kind of does. Maybe a very young, you know.
It's he looks like a young, like I don't want to say smaller because he's not small, but like Garth Brooks is kind of thick dude, you know? Like
yeah.
He's like a thinner version of, thinner, younger Garth Brooks. And he sounds like him too. And it's really creepy when you're talking to him face to face because you're like, you look and sound like Garth Brooks. But you're not.
I'm sure, yeah, he would appreciate that up close and personal. But
I didn't want to say you're like a younger, smaller Garth Brooks. That sounds terrible.
You will enjoy that show, though. You'll find out where he's living currently, which is quite unusual. And he has some very funny stories about being on the road. So it was another great interview and another great show. And we
and
get to play a lot of his music.
Awesome. Oh, my God. Especially the first song. I've had that in my head for days.
You know, it's interesting because independent artists don't get interviewed on talk shows all the time. So you don't find out the meaning of the songs when you hear them. By doing these special musical episodes, when he explained the meanings of the songs and then you listen to them, it's a whole different thing.
Glenn is like shocked that songs actually have meaning and lyrics.
Well, it's neat to hear what the inspiration, what the real meaning is
true.
For them. Because the first song kind of surprised me and then had us both in tears. So, but anyway, you want to do some wacky news?
I don't know. Do I? I remember we've talked about things like that. I wanted to bring some animal stories into this one. And it's pretty creepy. Like there was a Montana hotel and they had a guest. Well, I guess it wasn't a guest. It was an uninvited intruder that climbed in through the bathroom window into the ladies' room and stayed in the ladies' room for hours. And what
pervert.
Was it that pervert? A black bear climbed in through the window into a lady's bathroom and then made himself comfortable and took a nap.
Was
in
it a
the
boy or a girl bear?
In the sink. I don't think that they were able to
determine that.
Get down there and see that. But yes, a black bear made its way into a Montana bathroom. And there's actually some pretty interesting video on this. And there's like guys with sticks that are standing outside of the bathroom. And there's some, like, there's one guy with a stick. There's one guy with a cell phone.
and one guy
is standing over the chair.
I want something a little bigger than a stick and a cell phone myself.
Yeah. I just like, you are going to get attacked and all you've got to guard yourself is
a
cell
stick
phone.
And a cell phone.
All right.
Oh, wait a minute. Cue. It's not working. Hold on.
Now we're going to head across the country, going to Vermont. And the headline of this one is what grabbed me. And I'm going to read the headline to you and let you make your own judgment. Then I'll give you some details. Would you have clicked on this? Here's the headline. 250 escaped pigs run rogue through Vermont town. Hot dog buns help lure them back.
It sounds like one of those sponsored ads you see on your Facebook feed that takes you to the thing that you have to click through 85 pages to get the real story. That's what
250 pigs have been causing a ruckus in a Vermont town in Orange, Vermont in the past month after they escaped from their enclosure. Most had been returned as of Thursday, thanks in part to a trail of hot dog buns and, quote, good old-fashioned corralling. This is a news story.
Hey, whatever works.
you know, they say don't eat before bedtime, but this is a real reason to don't go to bed on an empty stomach. A California woman was having a dream. She went to bed and she was having a dream, and she was dreamed that she was being attacked by some bad guys, and she was on a high-speed train, and the bad guys were coming to her, and they were coming up and they were going to rob her. So what she did in her dream is she popped her wedding ring off, put it in her mouth, and swallowed it on the train in her dream. And she woke up and she didn't have a wedding ring on. She ate her dream in her ate her ring in her dream. She actually swallowed, this is a California woman, swallowed her engagement ring.
I saw the x-rays. And sure enough, the x-ray clearly showed a ring down where it shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah. You can see the x-rays. And it is, she didn't wait. She didn't wait for it to pass. She had surgery.
Well, you know, if it was, it depends how big the ring was. It was her wedding ring or engagement ring? Because I'm thinking of that big old stone ring. Cutting its way through your intestines, you know?
Yeah. It was her engagement ring. Sorry. Yeah. So she swallowed her engagement ring because it's a big old diamond. Bless her heart.
Depending on how big that really diamond is, it could do some damage.
Yeah.
And diamonds are sharp.
She needs to not
Aren't
sleep.
Aren't some dreams that real, though? You really
think
if when
you
wake
Lucas,
up.
The last time he peed the bed, he said he had a dream that he had to pee and he went to the bathroom and I woke up. And I peed, and I'm like, get off the mattress!
I think we all do that one, though. See, you never sleep deep enough to dream, because you hardly ever sleep, so there's that.
I know. What are these things you talk about dreams?
Some of them do seem so real, though.
All right. So we started in Montana, Glenn. Yes. Then we went to Vermont, and back across the country to California. Now we're going to wrap it up by heading down to Florida. Yes, that's right.
A Florida man.
We have to go to Florida every single time. This is Safety Harbor, Florida. Do
we
you know
have
where
an
that
exciting
is?
State here, Jamie. An exciting state.
It's really exciting. So this couple.
So what did this naked man do?
I'm going to tell it from the couple's point of view who own the house. They're asleep and they hear something downstairs. And the wife's like, honey, go see what's down in the kitchen. There's something in the kitchen. It's somebody here. Somebody's in the house. And so the husband creeps down the stairs, gets around the corner, and he sees somebody in his kitchen making some food. Somebody is in his kitchen cooking. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? And the guy turns to him and he goes, shh, 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 go back to sleep. Go back to sleep.
I'm busy here.
Turns out the drunk man was in their kitchen cooking when he was 19 years old. He allegedly entered the home through an unlocked rear door, went in the kitchen and made himself some food. And then when the resident of the home came down and said, what are you doing in my house? He was like, go back to bed. And then the guy's like, get out of my house. And then he ran. And of course, the police tracked him down. And they tracked him down in the swampy area behind the home. Don't run into a swamp in Florida at
night. That's never a good idea. So you become somebody else's dinner. So, you know, we've been having a rash of in Florida where burglars are stopping to cook food while they're in the house.
Really?
Yes. Apparently they're really hungry burglars we have here in Florida, because this is not the first one. There's been a rash of these people stopping to cook breakfast or dinner while they're in the house.
Well, I'll tell you the headline, and you know, they have the headline and then like the tagline underneath it. So I'll read that to you. Florida burglar breaks into home to make breakfast, tells resident, go back to sleep. According to the arrest report, alcohol may have been involved. You
yeah,
think?
No kidding. Alcohol's always involved.
And some wacky tobacco. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Speaking of news, let's go from a very new wacky news to some very old wacky news. And we have Abby Foltz with us. She is from the Chronicle of the Horse, comes on with us once a month to talk about the little stories that were done a long time ago. And we call this Chronicle in History, because the Chronicle was wise when they started 1,000 years ago. The Chronicle of the Horse, actually keeping copies of everything. And Abby goes down into the dusty archives in the basement of the Chronicle and digs out these old magazines.
I do believe she went to the dusty archives of 1992 one time.
Yes,
time.
I know. She didn't go so far back. But Abby, yeah, but how far
really
back are we
far
going
back
today?
For her.
How far are we going back today?
You're
going
to hate me now.
Why?
I went to 1999 today.
She's a baby.
When were you born, Abby? Tell me the date.
Well, okay. I was born in 1994.
Okay.
So I was alive. we went really far back last time. So I figured I'm kind of doing...
No, we didn't. That was 93.
See, she thinks 93 is far back because it's before she
was
born.
That was two times ago.
Oh,
two times ago.
Okay.
All right. I was alive for this one. But...
Abby's such a puppy. By the way, for the auditors, Abby is joining us for a special auditor highlight, Facebook Live in the auditor room tomorrow night at 7:30, Thursday night at 7:30. Megan and I get to grill her for an hour in the auditor room tomorrow night. So, Abby, look forward to that. We'll be asking you a lot of hard, pressing questions.
So. I am scared and excited.
So, this is 1999?
Yes, I figured we'd party like it was 1999 ahead of my auditor room appearance. There's a theme.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
So this is the year before the millennial, when everything was supposed to end and the world was supposed to blow up and we were not going to be here ever again. Yep.
Y2K was a thing.
And 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that is 20 years ago. I just remember all of us that night, people who never stayed up to midnight before, who always went to bed early on New Year's Eve, were up waiting for the world to end. That night. I remember.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I believe it.
Jerk. All right, Abby, what went on?
All right.
I was in a bar in Decatur, called the bookstore.
Moving on. So the first, it's not an article. It's a, last time I did do 1993, which was two times ago, I found a segment by Cookie McClung, who is hilarious. I love these. Last time it was a what sellers mean when they tell you certain things about a horse that you're looking to buy. This time Cookie did a column called Just Ask Etiquette. And it was an old hunting buddy of this person named Etiquette who says she fancies herself as the Miss Manners of the equestrian world. So she had people write in about their first world problems, not necessarily equestrian. And Etta gave her thoughts about, you know, what to do in these situations. So, the first one is that, dear Etta, my son is going to be married soon. His fiance, obviously not a horse person, has chosen the last Saturday in March for the wedding. This is also the final day for the hunting season. Do I have to attend? And then in parentheses, the wedding, that is. Signed, disgruntled. So, of course, being the Chronicle of the Horse, what side are we going
to
take here?
Of course you don't have to go. I don't think you should have to go to any wedding. Well, so I'm all for that.
Etta was very tactful. She said, Etta would love to give you permission to say you're sorry you cannot attend since you have a previous engagement, but I'm afraid your son would notice that you are missing. An option might be to get them to schedule the evening wedding, thus giving you time to hunt and make the ceremony, even if it means throwing a lace shawl over your hunting coat.
Well, you know, you are all dressed up anyway when you go to the hunt.
Right.
So, yeah, you could go from one directly to the other. It'd be perfect.
Not. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's stop there. Have either of you skipped out on a semi-important wedding because of a horse thing?
I refuse to answer that question, so do not incriminate myself.
I scheduled my wedding around the show schedule.
My freaking dad got married on Rolex weekend. I had to go because there was only my brothers and I were the only people invited. And
like
I was
your dad.
Like,
yeah.
Pissed.
She's still,
I did miss a bachelorette party. For Kentucky.
Well, I think that's okay. Yeah. I mean, that one you can get away with. But like if it's a brother or sister or father, it's kind of hard. What depends how, what, you know, I think it kind of depends on which number dad's on too. And I'm not talking about your dad, but in general, dad. If he's on.
it was more than number one, Glenn.
If he's on like number three or four, I think you can miss it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I didn't even get invited to number three, so whatever.
At what point should you stop having weddings, by the way, that people are actually invited to? I think after two, you just elope. I don't want to be invited to the third and fourth and have to get a gift every time.
Yeah, you just do it quick and kind of tell people about it later.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's hey, not... we're married. Awesome.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So. Let her get back on track.
I'm
Glenn.
Sorry. It's on a tangent no, there. Fine. A wedding tangent.
Well, this is another good wedding one. This says, my husband is an executive with a well-known international company, and as such, he's required to frequently entertain. Recently, at a dinner party we hosted, our elderly Jack Russell, because this isn't just horse people, it's dog people, in truth, a good judge of character, singled out the most obnoxious guest present and bit him in the ankle hard. This guest, a rude and opinionated man, left in a huff. What should I have done? Well, obviously not apologized or anything like that. You should have given the discerning Jack Russell a slice of prime rib and a scratch behind the ears. It's always been my opinion that if we listened to our animals about people, we'd have a better selection of friends, fewer wars, and more honest government.
Dogs run the government.
True. Dogs rule.
Entirely true. Yep. I mean, that's like a little Lord of the Flies-ish, but sure, why not? So those are kind of my two favorites from here. Again, as I always do, there are so many more. So I will take a picture of these and post them on the Horses in the Morning page and in the auditor's room for everyone that wants to see those become an auditor. It's the best place ever. Moving on to more serious news. Apparently, September 3rd, 1999 was one of the first times they started to discuss making intercollegiate riding an NCAA sport. So this little blurb here is titled Heads Up to Future Intercollegiate Riders. I guess on August 1st, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, which is also known as the NCAA, recognized riding as an emerging sport. So this is when it started to come out. I know some of the really good schools now, Auburn has an NCAA team. I'm not going to remember the rest of them because I didn't think about it beforehand. But yeah, just like those basketball players, we're the next superstars, right?
And if you want to follow that, you can head over to the podcast on Horse Radio Network. They have whole episodes following the collegiate sports scene in the horse world. And it does seem like it's been going on longer than 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say yes, but this was the first time it was like proper football level. No, maybe not that. But
I don't think we're filling stadiums
signing autographs.
No.
Yeah, signing autographs and all that. I rode in college at Georgetown, but I'm an eventer, and so he just kind of put me on his psycho horses, and I didn't show. He was like, get on this one, see what happens. It's a good time.
Eventers always get the psycho horses because they just assume you guys want to ride crazy horses. That
right.
It's your thing.
Like,
that Jennifer always got those two in for training because she was an eventer, and you should want to ride my crazy horse because nobody else will. So
I want to jump things that are crazy. I don't want the crazy horses to jump.
Yeah, you want a nice horse that's going to jump it well. That's what you want.
No, you get the crazy and you jump them enough till they're not crazy anymore. And then you sell them.
Yeah. We always have to think they're not crazy, but there's a screw loose always. Jamie, this next one's for you. This is a full page advertisement. See renowned horse gentler Monty Roberts in person. This was his 1999 join up tour. Awesome. And they placed a full page ad for him. They've got quotes from People Magazine, HarperCollins. It says, as seen on Dateline, NBC, CBS This Morning, and PBS. So yeah, it's got Shy Boy mentioned, and I just thought that was so fun. There's an 888 number you can call for tickets.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, let's
I will
call
post
it.
All of these.
What can we call it, Glenn?
Oh my God,
Glenn, let's call it. Let's call it. Let's call it. Give me the number.
No, I don't think we're calling it.
All right. So,
what?
Tell me the number. Went
back go really badly last time.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a 1-900 number. Come on, 1-888. I'm calling it on my phone.
Glenn, am I allowed to give her the number?
No. So.
Dad said no.
What were some of the quotes from some like the Today Show or whatever was on there?
People Magazine.
What did People Magazine say?
People Magazine. That was surprising. Monty Roberts trains horses using a language they understand, their own, which is beautiful. But like, how does People Magazine know that?
Exactly. Where'd that come
That's
from?
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's true still to this day. So there you
go. Yeah, of course. General admission was $25. So I'm sure he's upped those rates a little bit since then.
Can I tell you that he's currently on tour in like Hungary and he is 84 years old? The dude. Is amazing.
Is he still doing his 100 push-ups a day? He started that when he was 80.
I don't know. I think he's over that.
That he would get out and actually like do lot. It right in the arena in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's my badass. Wow. Good on him.
And we
good
had on him on the, we had him on Retired Racehorse the other day. And by the way, I want to say that episode's out, right? That just came out. So their last episode of Retired Racehorse Radio had him on. And that, I want to compliment you, Jamie, because that was one of the best interviews. Monty needs steering. He's like a horse. He kind of needs gentle steering. And you've gotten, you're the only one that can interview Monty and actually keep him on topic and heading in a straight line. So you did a good job.
Good. No, you did a good job. The Wrangler.
You did. You wrangled the Wrangler. And you're the only one that can do that because he can tend to go off. So good job with that. It was one of the best interviews I've ever heard with him.
And it was really poignant, too. I really thought he talked about whips and racing and it was just really, really cool to hear that. So, yeah, there you go. Go listen to Retired Racehorse Radio. Last episode. This next one's going to be good, too. Can't wait.
Ooh, nice. Love it. I'm all about the Retired Racehorses. We know that.
Is a Chronicle going to be at the makeover?
Yes, we are actually partially a sponsor. We have some magazines going. I'm not personally going to be there, but we should have someone there, I think.
Fine, never mind.
So Abby, we're very excited about it.
Abby, is there? I want to talk to you about your event over the weekend, but I want to make sure that that we're finished with history.
Oh, I just have a really funny article to me that says a handshake isn't enough anymore, and it's about how people will sue you if you don't have contracts and you can't just sign things with a handshake. So I have no words.
I feel
that
should have been a 1950 and not 1999.
Right? Somebody was getting taken advantage of in 1999. If that was what they were saying.
I kind of think in the 70s and 60s that should have happened too. So, Abby, you have a horse. Remind everybody a little bit about your horse. And then you were at a show over the weekend, right?
Yes. So I have a little baby nugget named Elsa. I named her after the Frozen movies. It's a thing. She is a 4-year-old chestnut thoroughbred mare. She did not race, but came from a trainer at the track. They bred her to race. And if you're around her for more than 30 seconds, you look at it and go, that's not going to go anywhere fast. So she is a little bit of a puppy dog. I love her. She's fantastic. She was at her second novice level horse trials this weekend. And she's just such an easy horse to work with. I don't know what happened with the redheaded thing. She doesn't know. It's fine. She finished on her dressage score of 28. She is the queen. I've dubbed her the queen of finishing on her dressage score, which I'm sure I'm jinxing by doing.
Oh, you're toast.
You should have never done that.
Might as well wear white breeches on cross country. Okay.
Oh, I do. I do. I tempt all the faith. Don't worry. She's great. She's super fun. She's, she's going to be a little superstar and so much fun to jump. Just, really brave and careful and get a good time. We actually had 3 Chronicle staff members competing at the same event. So we all had a little powwow there. It was a good day.
Fun.
Now, I also think I remember, Jamie, we were talking about farriers and we said the next time we had Abby on, we had to ask her a question. Do you remember what it was? Because she's married.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do. Right. OK.
Oh, boy.
And I asked my farrier this, too. And I was surprised by the answer. Does your husband go and get horses out of the pasture that he has to shoot?
No, absolutely not.
Refuses. Will not.
Yet a lot of our listeners said that their farriers prefer it that way. I don't know.
No, I think maybe my horse. Really, really nice to him. Not based on like laziness or anything like that, but the liability. There's that I know is a part of it, and he most of the horses he works on are like fairly competitive, if not upper level event horses. So for the most part, he's not shoeing by himself ever. He's got someone either holding a working student or a trainer or standing there, because a lot of them are just that high strung. So in terms of, they're usually there when he gets there. He's one of those that's actually not 2 hours late all the time. So I love that about him, but it means the horses can actually be inside and ready to go, which just makes it faster for the trainers as well. But Yeah, he actually told me that I didn't know. A lot of farriers don't clean up after themselves. Like, they won't sweep up or do the magnet or pick up nails or anything, because if they do it and they miss something, they're essentially accepting responsibility.
I didn't know that.
Something that they forgot to clean up. Yeah, so he does clean up, but that can open, like, a lot of things that I never even would have thought of in terms of liability on the farrier side. Yeah.
Because I magnet everything, too. and you know what? She doesn't clean up either, but that's because I'm always doing it. I kind of clean as she as she goes. But she did say, my farrier, Mackenzie, she did say that she will go get horses out in the pasture, because sometimes there's just no other choice because the people aren't at home because they're at working. Not everybody has the luxury of being home when the farrier's coming. Yeah. So I get it. But yeah, your husband's probably, I would never ask her to do that, but I'm home. Yeah. So I get it.
I think it's a very like case by case basis. You know, he's got certain barns that are like competition barns where there's a trainer and people pay to board. And then there's barns where someone lives there and their horses are, you know, in their backyard. And usually they're always there as well. He will occasionally shoe when the owner's not around, but it's like for very, very old clients that are more like family friends. For the most part, you know, they're always there and kind of helping him out and chatting with them. You know, farriers are so chatty.
If you remember right, that whole conversation started with people hitting on farriers. That's how that whole conversation started on the show.
It's true.
So does your husband get hit on by everyone? Because he's a big strapping guy. Does he get hit on everywhere he goes?
I think probably. I mean, I don't think he's going to tell me about it.
You're not allowed to go back to their place.
Nah. I mean, it's funny. It's a really funny industry because, like, all of his friends are women, and like his best man at our wedding was a woman, but she's also one of my good friends now too. So.
His best man was a woman? I've heard it the other way. I've never heard it that way.
Yeah, she wore a tux. She's awesome. She wore bright red heels and a tux, and it was a lot of fun because she got to come to all my stuff. So like, she came to the bachelorette party, and so I got like an additional bridesmaid sort of.
That's funny.
But
that is funny.
Yeah, he's like the bartender. He knows everybody, and I'm sure he gets hit on. Well, but yeah, now, whatever.
The part we couldn't understand about that, we've had this discussion before. So now that we have you, we can answer this question. We never understood why women hit on the farrier. They're stinky. They're dirty. They smell like hoof. What's the attraction there, Abby? Why?
Well, I like the smell. I'm weird. But I think it's just like the big strapping guy. They're burly. They like do manual work, but they're kind of like, it's like the teddy bear. Like, they're tough. They work, you know, with metal and grinders and all this, you know, machinery, anvils and hammering. But then they're like, you know, soft teddy bears. They deal with horses. They, you know,
it's
they
a
like
man
animals,
working
so.
On their horse, Glenn. It doesn't. You don't need anything other than that.
Yeah, but in 20 years they're back shot and they can't even walk. I mean, there's that too.
Why don't you just not insult Abby anymore so she comes on our show again? I am so sorry for him, Abby. I am apologizing ahead of time.
I'm not insulted. And if their back goes, then they can't run away.
Well said, Abby. Well said.
There's a strategy.
Oh, yeah.
What's the website?
Website is cronofhorse.com. Facebook, Chronicle of the Horse. Instagram, Cron of Horse. Yeah.
And if people want to reach your husband and flirt with him, how do they do that?
Go through me.
Abby screams, everybody. She looks at their looks at their Facebook page and goes, too hot. Nope, you're not getting that one. Too hot. Nope, you're not getting that one.
I would be flattered. Now, you know, people aren't hitting on your husband, then maybe your husband doesn't have anything to offer.
Ooh, yay! Abby is full of them today. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, Abby, now that I can talk to you about this, because, you know, pilots have the same problem, right? Because they look all good in their uniform walking through the airport. Yeah.
Right. Jamie, do you share the sentiment? Like, I mean, I completely trust him. So if someone's going to hit on him, that looks good for me, right?
Does he ever get, do pilots get hit on, Jamie, when they're walking through the airport and their little wings on and everything?
You know, I don't know, but I do have a friend. My best friend is a flight attendant, and she has told me plenty of stories to make me, Chad and I have some rules.
Oh, but that's more with the flight attendants and the pilots, right?
Yeah. Those are the ones you have to worry about because they're on the trips with them.
Oh, yeah. See, the other people get off the plane and they're gone. But,
bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for flying American. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Those people are gone. It's the chicks that are flying around with them that you have to worry about. And not worry about because my husband and I have a great relationship. But we do have some rules, you know, like now on the domestic flights that he does, he doesn't have the same flight attendants, but my friend was a flight attendant international, and that group stays together through the entire international trip.
Well, that makes sense, right? Because they're on the same hotel and on the same schedule. Yeah.
And so her two rules that that she has run into guys that have had these rules is that no women in your hotel room ever. And you don't dine with any woman alone. So the whole group was going to go get dinner, and she shows up and everybody else is petered out and it's just going to be him and her. And he was like, sorry, my wife and I have a rule that I don't dine with women alone. And she's like, awesome. Good for you. And she left. So that's one of my rules too. It's like, no women in your hotel room and no dining with women alone. And then we're good.
Well, we know they're not getting in the cockpit during the flight, so
exactly.
We know that's not happening.
That's locked.
Did I just bore you guys with that story? You can cut that out.
No, that's okay. I think I wanted to know the answer to that. I didn't know. So anyway,
just so you know, she also there was a guy who was like a really, really, really. This is going to be TMI, Glenn. You don't get to listen, but I'm telling Abby this. So there was a pilot that she flew with all the time, and he was like super great husband. And so many of these pilots that fly around, they're not maybe always the best. And she said, "I have to know what your secret is. You're just such a good dude. Like, you seem like you have a great marriage." And he said, "I'll tell you what, my wife never lets me leave home with a loaded gun." I was
that
like,
goes back
yes!
to the three F's, Jamie.
Three F's, baby.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, that was too much information there.
No, these are helpful tips, Glenn.
Thank you, Abby, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Talk
See
to you
later.
Ya.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Why does anybody come on our show on a regular basis?
I don't know.
We do this to all our regular guests, and they keep coming back for more. Leslie, we put Leslie through torture for years.
She's not coming back.
Well, she did. She just came back the other day. She apparently likes torture.
Abby's not coming back.
We get to grill her tomorrow night in the auditor room where we can say anything we want. So there's that. By the way, we mentioned that the minimum auditor contribution might be going up to $3 here in October. So you want to join when it's still a dollar. And we had a whole bunch join on Monday after I announced that. So keep that in mind. If you want to get in at the dollar contribution, then definitely do that now. Go to horseradionetwork.com, click on the auditor banner in the middle of the page. And next week, we'll be talking a lot about that. But right now, Jennifer, do you need, let's get Jennifer back on here quick. Do you need ads for Really Bad Ads on Friday? We can't hear you, Jennifer. Are you there?
I need ads.
Okay.
And I need ads from new email addresses. So for the 72 people who send me emails with ads every week, we need more. Come on, folks. If you've never sent in an ad, do it.
Yeah, it's not hard, Jamie, right, to find an ad?
I mean, just look at horse sales.
Go to Craigslist. Look in the farm section. You'll find ads. Promise.
Perfect.
Any place in the country. Doesn't matter where you live. Certain places are better than others. The South is terrific. But you definitely can find them anywhere. So get your ads in. We have great prizes. We have the soaps. We have the Heels Down soap packages to give away this month. And anybody that sends an ad in gets entered for the prizes, whether we read them on the air or not. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Jennifer, we have fox hunting, correct?
We do.
All right. So fox hunting episode tomorrow. Do we have any idea what they're talking about?
Fox hunting.
Okay. Well, all right, spay neuter geld, end this pain.